we can send the azab even in this world together with the azab in the hereafter. And he reminds them of two types of azab that came to people who were on the face of the earth. One, the azab that came to Lut alayhi salam. And this other one, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَمَسَخْنَاهُمْ عَلَى مَكَانَتِهِمْ فَمَا اسْتَطَاعُوا مُضِيًّا وَلَا يَرْجِعُونَ. And if we had so wished, we could have disfigured them in their own places, remaining right in their homes, in their houses, in their localities, in their cities, in their, wherever it might be. Allah says, we have the power to disfigure them. And which nation was disfigured by Allah? The nation of Dawood alayhi salam. The nation of Dawood alayhi salam, when they transgressed the limits of Allah with respect to the Sabbath day, the Saturday, the Holy Quran itself says, when the Jews used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and argue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, saying to the Prophet, ask them, they claim to be on the true path, they claim to have the true deen of Allah, and they claim to be the best people, they claim to be the most beloved of Allah, they claim to be the children of Allah, but ask them, whose forefathers were turned into monkeys and apes? Whose forefathers? Their own forefathers were changed, were disfigured into monkeys and apes of the past. And it was, the Holy Quran teaches us, that it was during the time of Dawood alayhi salam, when the law came from Allah, telling them, La ta'adu fi sabati, do not transgress the limits of the day of Sabbath. For the day of Sabbath, the Saturday, was respected by these people of the past, the Jews. That was the law, that they should not work on that day. And on that day, they should come together and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire day, they were not allowed to work. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them to a test, that they were people who used to catch the fishes from the ocean. This was their job. They were fishermen. And then throughout the entire week, whenever they went out at the sea to make a catch, they will not catch anything. They will not get any wealth. They will not catch any fish. But on the Saturday, on the day of Sabbath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to cause the fishes to start to come on the surface of the water and roam about and swim about. And when they saw that, they couldn't resist that temptation. For a fisherman, fishes is his wealth. That is his wealth. The fish is his wealth. Make a big catch, it's more money. You don't catch anything, no money for the day. That is what he does. So on Saturday, it is to come up. The fishes used to come up and swim on the surface of the water. But after that day, Sunday, Monday, nothing will come up. They will go out and they wouldn't catch anything. So what they decided to do on that day, on the Sabbath day, whenever the fishes came on the surface of the water, they used to, from the sea, they used to make small canals and ravines, you know, cut open the earth, let it go to another place, and let all the fish swim into that area and take something and block the passageway so the fish will not be able to swim outward back to the sea. And when that happened on the Saturday, on the Sunday, they will go and catch all the fishes. And then they will say, oh Dawood, we are not transgressing the limits of the Sabbath day. Look, we are not fishing on the Sabbath day. We are fishing on Sunday, not Saturday. But that was a haram heel and strategy they used. It is a haram strategy that they use. And after that, what happened is that one day they got up in the morning, Dawood alayhi salam and his people, and all these people who were caught in that act, who did the act, who transgressed the limits by working on the day of the Sabbath, they were all disfigured into apes and monkeys. Allah says in the Quran, he commanded them, "Kunu qiradatan khasi'in." Become apes. That was the law of Allah. Kunu, become. You know in the Quran, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ, whenever Allah intends anything, what does He say? He says, فَإِنَّمَا قَالَ لَهُ أَوْ فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ. He says to it. He only says to it. إِنَّمَا is كَلِمَةُ الْحَسَرَ. Kalimatul hasr in Arabic is for confinement. So you want to say, this is the only truth. You will say in Arabic, innama huwa al-haq. Certainly it is the only truth. The word innama alone conveys that meaning. Because you can say inna. Inna means verily, certainly, indeed. But when you put a ma at the end, innama, it confines it with only this affair. Nothing cannot occur except with this. So what does it mean? What the ayah? Look at the beauty of the ayah. Whenever Allah wants to do anything, فَإِنَّمَا, He only does this, nothing else. فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, He only says state, be, and it is. Nothing more than that Allah has to do. Nothing more. Only say be. So what did He say to them? كُونُ, become apes. And immediately they were all turned into apes. Be apes, He said. Just like when the people went on the Mount Sinai with Musa alayhi salam, and they did not want to believe that it was the voice of Allah they were hearing on Mount Sinai. What did Allah say to them? Mutu, die. They immediately died. That's all Allah said to them. Mutu, die. And they all fell dead immediately. Died. So this is Allah's way. Just one command He issues, and the thing has no choice except to go in the direction which Allah has commanded it. So Allah said to them, "Kunu qiradatan khasi'in," become apes, despised and rejected. And immediately, though they were human beings, they immediately their entire selves were transformed into an ape. All those people who committed the crime by working on the Sabbath day, all of them were turned into apes. When Dawood alayhi salam saw that, he decided to move all those people on the other side of the river. And he moved all of them on one side of the river. And he with the other people who followed him and were obedient to Allah remained on one side. It is stated in traditions that after 3 days all these people died out. They got up one morning, they were not hearing a single sound from across the river. And when they went, all these people were dead. After turning to apes, monkeys and apes, they only remain alive for 3 days. That was because of the haram strategy which they tried to use in deen, in Islam. And so too, we learn from that lesson that all strategies which try to remove from a person the farwiyat, any essential requirement of deen and Islam, it is haram in Islam. Any strategy whatsoever that a person may use to move away a law becoming farz upon him, it is totally haram in Islam. People do a lot of strategies with zakat, because Allah says that wealth is something that is connected to the heart of a person, not a believer, a person. It is difficult for him to part it from it. It is difficult for him to give out of it. So Allah reminds us in the Quran, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. What you have, it doesn't belong to you. It is what we have given to you. So when we have given to you at least, and you understand that Allah has given to you that, it becomes easier for you to give something. For when you are given, you will say, I am given what Allah has given to me. So Allah reminds us. So people in zakat also make a lot of haram strategies. When the time comes for zakat to become compulsory, which is at the rounding up of the year, when the year comes to an end, then zakat will become compulsory. Whatever year you had an isaf from, then at that point in time, the person may either transfer his money or his account on his wife's name or something like that, or his brother's name, and then he says at the end of the year, I do not have an isaf anymore, I do not have money anymore. Now that woman also, zakat cannot become compulsory upon her because she did not possess that wealth for a whole year. So he leaves it with her for a whole month and then he takes it back. So it's like a new year beginning for him. Strategy. Why? So that zakat will not come compulsory upon him and he will not have to pay. That is totally haram in Islam. Some people also, they give to a person something. They may sell to a person something. Na'uzabillah, it is a strategy. They may sell to a person something and tell the person, they know the person,
He's indebted and he doesn't have any money. Then they will take the zakat money and give it to him and say, pay me back with this money. So he's getting back whatever zakat money he had to give out. So he wants to get it back. Na'uzubillah. Many strategies people use in deen. Many strategies. They are all haram in Islam. And this, that lesson of Dawood alayhi salam and his people, it teaches us a lesson. That any time we try to use strategy in the deen of Allah, Allah's azab will come to that person. Allah's azab will come to that person. So Allah says, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ. If we had so wished, we could have disfigured them. Like how we have disfigured the people at the time of Dawood alayhi salam. That is not difficult. عَلَى مَكَانَتِهِمْ. Right in their own places. We do not have to move them. We do not have to bring anything to disfigure them. Right upon their own places. In their own selves we can disfigure them. And when that happens, فَمَا اسْتَطَاعُوا مُضِيًّا وَلَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Then they will not be able to move about. Nor will they be able to return. Return to the original shape, the original way they were, or return back to their people. Then Allah says, وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرُهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. And whosoever we wish, we reverse him in nature. أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Cannot these people understand? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, two azab we can send upon a person. One, we can knock out his eye. This is the azab from Allah. And the other one, we can disfigure him. Lest that a person may think, that can Allah disfigure a person? I mean, look at it. People can ask the question, unbelievers, mushrikeen, this man is a human being today. Is it possible for him to be an animal tomorrow? Is it possible for his entire appearance to change overnight? Is it possible for him to transform into another being? Is it possible for him to be disfigured? Allah says now in this ayah, lest that a person may think about that, let him look at Allah's Qudrat right in front of his eyes. Allah says, وَمَنْ نُؤَمِّرْهُ. Whosoever we grant long life, whosoever we grant long life, نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. We reverse him in nature. We reverse him in nature. What does that mean? This is how Allah disfigures a person right on the face of the earth. Right in his own existence. A person who has been granted long life. What does this ayah mean? We reverse him in nature. نُنَكِّسْ from the word تَنْكِيس. To reverse something. When we look at the development of a human being, he remains for a long while in the womb of his mother. He comes out in a state of weakness. He grows up, a childhood, adolescence, adulthood, maturity. Allah is reversing him in nature. His intelligence begins to become shallow. His eyesight starts to diminish. His hearing is now affected. His understanding is affected. His strength goes to weakness. The ability to walk doesn't exist with him anymore. Once upon a time while he was a child, he was creeping. Now in his old age, he is dragging on his own self. Once upon a time, whenever he was walking, he used to fall and walk. He grew up into strength. Now again, Allah is reversing that back down. He will walk, but he will stumble and fall. He cannot walk without the help of another person or the help of a stick. Every single thing. Allah says, right before your eyes, I disfigure you. Can you not see? Can you not see? The husn and the jamal, the handsomeness, the beauty of the person goes away. The color of the person goes away. His eyesight, he cannot see anything. He cannot eat anything. Identically like when he was at a stage of baby. When he was a child and someone had to help him eat, now he's again on that stage. Allah says, وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ. Whosoever we grant long life, نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. We return him, reverse him in nature. This is the nature which Allah is speaking about. The nature of power and strength and ability, of eyesight, hearing, speech, every single thing. It comes back. Allah says, reverse it. So when Allah is doing this out of his Qudrat, then why should people have that attitude of disbelieving that can Allah disfigure a person? Right in front of our eyes, every day people are disfigured in this manner. in the nature with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. This is why a very great poet said it. He says, "Man asha, whosoever lives a long life in this world, أخلقت الأيام وحدته." He says, "The days and the years, the days and the years will bring weakness to his strength and ability. The years that passes him, man asha, whosoever lives long on the face of the earth, أخلقت الأيام وحدته." He says, "The days and the amount of years on the face of the earth will bring weakness to his strength and his ability." He says, "وَخَانَهُ ثَقَطَاهُ." And his two most beautiful things will become mistrustful. As-sam' wal-basar. His hearing and his sight will betray him. His hearing and his sight will become mistrustful. What does it mean? It means there was once upon a time you could not deny your sight. Even if a person is arguing with you, you will say, "Yes, I saw it." Or you will say, "Yes, I heard it with my own ears. I cannot deny it." But there will come upon a time when these two things will mistrust her. It will betray him that you think that you see it, but because of your old age, you really didn't see it. You think that you heard it, but because of the weakness in the body and the old age, you really did not hear it. Or a person saying again and again the same thing, but you cannot hear it. So these two things, most beautiful things, it doesn't really give him much benefit. This is why it says in another, Mutanabbi, the great poet says, he says, "Whosoever," he says, "man asha fi dunya taweelan," whosoever lives in this world for a long time, "taqallabat ala aynayhi," then his eyes become changed, "hatta yara sidqaha kadhiban," until he started to see truth as falsehood. Old age again. This is what Allah says, whosoever we grants long life, we reverse him in nature. One day he was going up, a time will come, he will go down and down. So Allah says, can these people not see that this is the qudrat and ability of Allah? So Allah says, "Afala yaqilun," can they not understand it and see that this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when Allah does that right in front of their eyes on the face of the earth, then why Allah cannot send azab to them in this world as he will do it in the hereafter? وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَا. The kuffar used to use very dirty remarks against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The athar and the effects of the Quran, they could not refuse. The effects, the powerful effects of the Holy Quran, they could not deny. They were unbelievers, but they experience the power of the glorious Quran, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They could not reject that. They could not deny it. Anytime they heard it, they will start to tremble with fear and they will immediately run away. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala used to sit in the sahan, the courtyard of his house, and he used to recite the Holy Quran in such a beautiful manner that anyone passing in front of his house hearing the Holy Quran will immediately accept Islam and they will begin to weep. The unbelievers, they came to the Messenger of Allah and they said, "Tell Abu Bakr, do not recite it outside, read it inside if he wishes." The Prophet ﷺ spoke to Abu Bakr about it, but Abu Bakr says, "O Prophet of Allah, this is my heart's desire, to read the words of Allah and praise and glorify Allah with happiness and joy in my heart. I cannot resist it, O Prophet of Allah." That is a strength of iman in the heart of a person that makes them do certain things. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, because he accepted Islam, was dragged with chains throughout the streets in Medina. Throughout the streets in Medina and Mecca, he was dragged. And they just told him, "Do not say this word." Abu Bakr and the Prophet ﷺ used to say, "Okay, do not say it loud, say it silently." But Abu Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was so filled with iman with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he just could not resist saying, "Allahu Ahad, Allahu Ahad." And it had to come out from his heart and come out from his lip, and he continued to be persecuted. So Abu Bakr continued. So anytime the people pass, they will hear it, they will immediately begin to weep as the Quran says, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ,
whenever the words and the verses of Allah recited,
زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا,
their iman increases. Their iman increases and their hearts begin to tremble and tears starts to fall from their eyes. This is the power of the Holy Quran.
So they could not deny the power of the Holy Quran. Even though they were unbelievers, they could not deny the power of the Holy Quran.
But they are not believers, so they cannot say it is a wahi, a revelation from Allah.
Because if they believe it is a revelation, then they have to automatically believe that this person Muhammad is a Rasul of Allah. But they do not believe that.
So then what they used to say? They used to say that the Quran is sihr, sorcery, and the Prophet is a sorcerer.
Na'uzubillah.
The Quran is sorcery, so this is why it is able to hypnotize the people,
because they see the effects of the Quran.
So it is sorcery, it is able to hypnotize the people.
And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to say Muhammad is a sorcerer, na'uzubillah.
And the other thing used to say, that the Quran is sha'r,
that the Quran is sha'r, it is poetry,
and Muhammad is a sha'ir, a poet.
Allah says in the Quran, to refute what they are saying, Allah says, "Bas
wa ma 'allamnahu sha'r."
How can you say it is poetry? We have never taught him poetry.
Allahu Akbar.
We have never taught him poetry.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never knew about poetry in his life.
He never knew about poetry in his life.
وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشَّعْرَ,
we have never taught him poetry.
وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ,
and it is not befitting for him that he should learn poetry.
It is not befitting that he receive poetry.
Once a person asked Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know any stanzas of poetry?
Aisha says, no, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never knew anything about that.
Except that one day, a person was reciting poetry to him and he had remembered one stanza of the poetry, and when he wanted to say it back, he said it wrong.
The person told him it was a beautiful stanza and he, the Prophet, wanted to repeat it and he said it wrong.
So Abu Bakr was close by, he said, oh Messenger of Allah, you recited it wrong, this is not the way.
So the Prophet ﷺ says, ma ana bi shairun,
but I am not a poet.
Allah protected him from that, so that people will not use the remark that he knew poetry.
This is what Allah is saying in the Quran, and in another verse he says, وَمَا هُوَ قَوْلُكُ
وَمَا هُوَ بِشَاعِرِ,
he is not a poet, nor is this the words of Sutsiyah.
So Allah says, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ,
and we have not taught him poetry.
وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ,
and it is not befitting for him that he should learn poetry.
So when the Quran is then, in the eyes of the unbelievers, for them, if it is not poetry, and he cannot learn poetry, what it is?
إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ,
it is nothing but a message from Allah. Allahu Akbar.
This is what the Quran is.
This is what you and I must understand.
It is a message from Allah to us,
that Allah wants to tell you and I something also.
He wants to tell you and I how we should lead our lives in this world.
He wants to tell us how we should conduct our lives in this world.
He wants to tell us what awaits us in the hereafter.
But we are not reading, so we cannot know.
So we live a life of unmindfulness, neglectfulness, and we continue to live.
But what it is?
إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ,
it is nothing but a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ,
and a clear Quran.
A Quran that is clear to the people.
Doing what?
What is the job of the Quran?
لِيُنْذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا وَيَهِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ,
so that it will warn those people who are alive.
Allahu Akbar.
So that the Quran, the message of the Quran, will warn those people who are alive.
وَيَهِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ,
and it may establish the word upon the unbelievers.
What does Allah say?
That whom in the Quran warn those people who are alive?
In the context of the Quran and the Hadith, two words are used sometimes.
A person who is dead and a person who is alive.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says once, a person who remembers Allah is a person who is alive, and a person who does not remember Allah is a dead person.
Life and death in the context of the Holy Quran refers to the heart's recognition of its creator.
So what Allah is saying here,
from among the people, those who believe in Allah and they have their iman in Allah and they believe in the Messenger of Allah, they are alive in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for those people, the Quran is a warning to them. So to those people, when the verses of the Quran are recited, their iman goes up. Izdada imanuhum. Their iman goes up. Their heart begins to tremble. There is more closeness that they get towards Allah when they hear the glorious words of the Quran being recited, because they are alive. And when they are alive, they will grasp its message. But something which is dead, it cannot listen anything. It cannot listen anything. It cannot gain any benefit whatsoever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Quran is revealed. It is a message. Who will be able to grasp the message? Who will be able to reap the benefit? So that it may warn those people who are alive. Those people who have iman and belief in their hearts, they are alive. And among the unbelievers, and it will make the word established upon the unbelievers. What word? The word is that those people who do not believe, Allah has prepared the fire of Jahannam for them. So the Quran also makes that evident, that if you do not believe, then Allah has prepared the fire of Jahannam for them, and it shall come to pass. So the Holy Quran has made it already evident that if they do not believe, then their abode and destination will be the fire of Jahannam. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا أَنْعَامًا فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ. Indicating to another one of his qudrat and his power, Allah says, أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Why these people do not understand? In other words, they should use the power of their intelligence and look at Allah's qudrat and look at Allah's power all over the place. Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا. Do they not see? أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ. That we have created for them. What have we created for them? مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا. From that which our hands have fashioned. What have we created? أَنْعَامًا. Grazing livestock. فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ. Then they become the owners. Allah says, do they not look? The goats, the sheep, the cattle, the horses, all these livestock, all these grazing animals, Allah says, our hands have fashioned these animals and we have created it. And after we have created it, who becomes the owner? These people becomes the owner. For whom laha malikun. They become the owner. وَدَلَّلْنَاهَا لَهُمْ. And we subject these animals to them. فَمِنْهَا رَقُوبُهُمْ. And from among the animals, they use some for transport and riding. وَمِنْهَا يَأْكُلُونَ. And from among it, they eat. So a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he describes. He says, don't you look at the animals, don't you look at things around you. You use the cattle, you use the buffaloes, you use the sheep, you use the goats. But have you ever imagined where did these things come from? Have you ever wondered how that this animal, over 600, 800 pounds, large horns, one butt or one lash from it can destroy a human being, can kill the human being? Have you ever wondered that this, with its mighty power and ability, much stronger than you, how is it you can take the rope and pull him all over the place and it will walk behind you? Have you ever wondered about that? Allahu Akbar. Why doesn't it do any harm to you? Why doesn't it run after you? Why doesn't it know when you are going to slaughter it and kill you before you can kill it? The animal. Because وَدَلَّلْنَاهَا لَهُمْ. Allah says, we made them subservient to you. Allahu Akbar. Animals understand that the humans are my master. So they do not fight against them. They do not harm them. They do not cause injury to them. Though how mighty they might be, how big they might be, how heavy they might be, a small child will go and play with them and they will not harm the child. Allahu Akbar. But left alone, they can do it. They can do it. But this is what Allah is saying. Look at these things which I have created. and at least believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The animals, some animals you do not eat, but you need them to transport your goods. The camels and the mules and the donkeys and the water buffaloes and all these things. You yourself cannot carry the load. The heavy load, which is so heavy, can kill you, Allah says. You use these animals, you use them, you abuse them, you beat them, you don't treat them well, you do not give them food on time. You abuse these animals, you treat them unjust. And still it doesn't occur to you that Allah is the one who has created these animals so that you may use it. You kill them and you eat its meat and you enjoy their meat very well. And still you do not even give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And bring it to your mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this for us and He has allowed us to eat from it. So Allah says, look at these things. We have created it for you and made you the owners and possessors. And besides that, we made them subservient to you so that they will listen to what you say. You tell them come, they will come. You tell them go, they will go. You beat them, they will still remain. Whatever it is, Allah has made them subjected to your command. And that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِعُ وَمَشَارِبُ وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا. And for the people in these animals, there are many different benefits. Many different benefits. The milk we use, وَمَشَارِبُ, and it is used for drinking also, pleasurable drink. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah in Surah An-Nahl, He says, don't you look at the animals? Don't you look at the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the animals? So He says, وَفِي الْأَنْعَامِ, and in the cattle, there is a beautiful lesson for you, O human beings and jinnah. There is a beautiful lesson from you. We take out the milk from places of impurities. The stomach is filled with impurity. On one side, you have the impurities, the dung. And on the other side, there is the impurity of the blood. And Allah says, we cause pure drinking milk to flow from between these two impurities. Coming out to you, sa'igan, pure, khalisan, pure, drinkable, pleasurable milk for you. Bas. Allah says, can you not look at that? So He says in the animals, you will find many benefits. You will use the skin for another purpose. You will use the wool on the sheep back for another purpose. You will use the horn for another purpose. You will use the hoof for another purpose. Every single thing, people use these things for so many different benefits. So Allah says, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِعُ, and there are so many benefits in these animals for you. وَمَشَارِبْ, and also drinking. You can drink from the milk. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Why? Can you not become grateful? Allahu Akbar. Ajib. It really, after reading these ayats of the Holy Quran, it really takes a hard-hearted man to look at all these signs of Allah and still deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the animal, in each and every single thing, Allah says, what? At least make some shukr to Allah. At least be grateful to Allah. Use the intelligence a little bit. That human beings, you are able to recognize the ihsan of another human being. You are able to recognize the kindness of another human being. But what is wrong, O human being? You cannot up to now recognize the kindness of your creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person does a favor to you today, and tomorrow he asks you for a favor. You will not deny him. You will say, oh, he helped me yesterday. He gave this to me yesterday. How can I deny him? How can I not help him? But how many things Allah has been given to us, and we are not being able to say the same thing to Allah, that how good Allah has been to us. We are able to understand human kindness, but not able to understand the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Why then they do not become grateful to Allah? Instead of becoming grateful to Allah, instead of becoming obedient to Allah, they reap all the benefits of Allah. And what do they do? وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً, and they take others besides Allah as their gods. Allah causes the earth to produce, they eat from what Allah produces. Allah sends the water as rain, they drink from it. Allah sends the air for them to breathe, they breathe. But time for worship, it goes to another person. Huh? It goes to a person and a being. And it goes to an idol or a sculptor or an image or a picture who has never ever done anything for them. So they reap all the benefits from Allah. وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً, and they take besides Allah other gods. لَعَلَّهُمْ يُنصَرُونَ, so that they can be helped by these gods. So they take idols as their gods, so that these idols can help them. But Allah says, لَا يَسْتَتِعُونَ نَصْرَهُمْ. But these idols and other things they have taken as their gods cannot help them. Even if they take Isa alayhi salam as their god, Isa will not be able to help them. Even if they take, they took Israel alayhi salam as their god, he cannot help them. Even if they take the most powerful angel as their god, Jibreel alayhi salam cannot help them. Even if they take the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as their god, he cannot help them. Because you cannot call the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Allah. And once you say that, that is shirk. His love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his obedience to Allah and following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the upkeeping the sunnah and implementing the teachings of the Rasul of Allah in his life will bring about the shafaat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can do on the day of judgment for his followers. He will make shafaatul kubra and intercede for them, and his intercession will be so that Allah will accept his intercession. No one can help that person except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says that these people cannot help them. وَهُمْ لَهُمْ جُنْدٌ مُحْضَرُونَ. And they, for them, they are an army who are present. Two interpretations of this ayah. One is that these people, these things that they worship as the idols, will also be presented before Allah on the day of judgment, and they will be thrown in the fire of hell. They will be presented. And the other interpretation, as these people, they take for themselves idols as their gods, but they have to protect their gods. This is the reality. They have to protect their gods. So if they carve a big image, they have to protect it, put it in a secure place, so that people do not affect it, people do not break it down, people do not break down their god. They have to protect and stand and place a security for their gods now. So they continue to believe in different gods, and as long as they continue to do that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission became even more difficult. Because as long as he continued to preach to them, they always told him all these things. Anta sha'irun, you are a poet. Anta kahinun, you are a sutseya. Anta sahirun, you are a sorcerer. And they continue to say so many things against him. Anything he stated, they will go to the normal weak believers and they will say, you believe that a man can do such and such? And then a person will say no. So then they will say, well, your prophet says he can do that. Immediately they try to incite into that person hatred against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will go and put up things. How can you believe in this man? How can you do this? Bringing things in front of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives consolation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to all the believers also. So what does Allah say? He says to the Prophet, فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ. Do not let their statements and their words grieve you. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful consolation. Do not let their words grieve you, O Rasul. You will hear many things from them. As in another ayat, Allah says to the Prophet that you will hear many things from them, from the injuries of their tongue. It means the injuries that the tongue can cause, which is known as adha in Arabic. You will hear it from them. They will say so many things against you. They will lie against you. They will slander your name. They will assassinate your character. They will say so many things. As a human being, everyone will be affected. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam obviously was affected. So Allah says, فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ. Let not their words, O Messenger, let not their words grieve you in any way. إِنَّا نَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. We know very well what they conceal, what they hide, and what they make open. So whatever, you don't have to worry, O Messenger. Because what they say openly, we know that. And what they try to conceal so that you may not know, we also know that. So they will be taken to task. There is no getting away. So do not grieve. And it is also a consolation for all believers, because as long as believers believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many different trials and tests will continue to come to the believers. Sometimes people will say so many things that you didn't do. People will backbite you, they will slander you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, people will continue to do it. If we look at that, then we will not be able to go ahead in life. Because every step we take, we are always looking, who said what about me? Why did these people say that? Why did these people say that? So rather than going ahead and fulfilling a mission which Allah has placed before us and continuing the work of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are we doing? Always looking backwards. Always looking backwards. So the same lesson to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have a mission to fulfill, O Muhammad. You have a task to accomplish. You have a job to perform. You go ahead, Allah will take care of everything. So we also as believers, if we look every day at behind, we will never go ahead, go forward. So we have to develop that yaqeen in our hand that Allah knows what people conceal and what they make open. And thus, as Allah says in the Quran, Allah is sufficient for the believers. Bas. Allah is sufficient for the believers. So therefore, whosoever may say what? Allah says to the Prophet, فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ. Let not their what? Their words grieve you, O Messenger. Let not their words grieve you. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. These ayats here, the ending ayats of Surah Yasin, these verses will reveal at a specific incident. It is reported that the great infidel As bin Wa'il, who went to one of the valleys of Makkah, he took up a very old bone. He took his hands and he broke it, and then he broke it into pieces and threw it onto the ground. And turning towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "What can your Allah put life in this thing? Can your Allah put life in this thing? Look at the state of this. It is crumbled to pieces and like dust. Can your Allah, you are claiming, can he put life in this thing?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Naam, yes. Allah can put life in it, and Allah will cause you to die, and then Allah will cause you to be given life, and after that he will put you in Jahannam forever." About this incident, Allah revealed these ayats and verses. He says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Do you not see mankind? أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. That we have created man from a drop of impure liquid. This is the origin of man. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Then he turns out to be an open opponent against Allah. Ajib. That Allah has created this man, and that this man turns out an enemy against Allah. Ajib. So Allah says, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا. He brings comparisons for us. He brings examples to us, and he forgets his own creation. This is what happens. Because if a man remembers his own creation, then he will not bring certain things in front of the Prophet and say, can your Allah create this? Because if you look at yourself, you will realize that we were once a drop of salmon, a drop of impure liquid, and then Allah took that drop of impure liquid and he made it into the blood, and he made it into a lump of flesh, and then bones and skeleton and all these things. So if a man remembers that is what Allah did to him, then he will not bring doubts about whether or not Allah can do that, because he remembers his own creation. But Allah says, the fact that this person is bringing examples, it means he forgot his own creation. He forgot about how he was created. He says, مَنْ يُحْيَ الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. Who will give life back to the bones when they are decomposed? As As bin Wa'il said, who will bring life to this after it has become this decomposed? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is commanded by Allah to tell them, the same one who gave life to it in the very first place. Allahu Akbar. قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي. The same one who gave life to it in the very first place will be the same one. And recreating, it is much easier than first creation. Because in the first creation, then man was created out of nothing into something. But when he's already created, it is much easier to put the bones together and give him life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, reply to them and give them this response.
قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً.
See, that one who created him in the very first place will give life to him again.
وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ.
And he is all-knowing and fully knowledgeable above all his creation.
الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الشَّجَرِ الْأَخْضَرِ نَارًا.
It is He, Allah, who has created for you from the green tree. From the green tree, He has created fire.
Now, this has two different meanings also.
One is that whatever is used to create fire, to create a fire, it's the woods and the sticks, and it comes from trees. It comes from trees. But the message Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to point towards here is one of His qudrat, where something apparently doesn't have life, but He gives life in it. He puts life in it. And because life comes about in it, then it can become beneficial for man. So He indicates towards this. He says, He, Allah, who will give life to the bones after they have become decomposed, it is He, the one who has created for you from the green tree fire.
It is mentioned in tariq and history that among the Arabs there was really certain trees. The name of one tree is called the Marq, and the other tree is Ara'afar. These two trees, that they had such special khasiyat in it, speciality in it, that when you cut the branches and you rub them together, fire will come about. Now we know about friction that is caused by rubbing two pieces of maybe metal or stone. That is what people used to use. But this is like the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in the branches, it's filled with water. We know that. So if you squeeze the branch, it will leak out. So Allah says, here is it. Green tree, not the dry stick. The green tree. It was a custom. It existed in the Arab lands. Two trees, Murkh and also Afar. And they used to cut the stick like how we will cut the miswak, the small pieces. And they will take it, and once they rub them together, as it is green stick, they will get the fire. Allah says, Bas, who did that? Allah. So just as this thing could not produce fire, Allah created a type of life in it, igniting the fire, and the fire becomes useful to you. Then similarly, your bones are lying in the ground, He can create life in it, you will stand before Allah. So He created for you mina shajaril akhdari, not only the tree, but the green tree, referring to that ni'mat and the qudrat from the green tree. I mean, if you take two pieces of stick, green stick, it will not give off fire. It cannot. And even if you were to put it on fire, difficult, it will burn because it's green. It's green. So He says, but this is the qudrat of Allah. فَإِذَا أَنْتُمْ مِنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ. When lo and behold, you kindle the fire from the stick. You put it together, you rub them together, and the fire comes out. أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَقْلُكَ مِثْلَهُمْ. Isn't it the one who created the heavens and the earth? Isn't He all powerful upon creating something the like of it? What is so difficult about that? In other words, it's a question asked to these people. How are they finding it so difficult that Allah will put life in the what? In the bones. But look at Allah has created the seven heavens and the seven earth. This mass, big universe, the water, the mountains, the oceans, every single thing, the sky, the sun and the moon. Allah has created the entire heavens and the earth. If Allah has done that, what is a small human being to create? Eh? So it says, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ. Isn't that one who created the heavens and the earth بِقَادِرٍ. Isn't He all powerful upon the creation of the like of that? بَلَا. Sure, without doubt. وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمِ. And He is the all-knowing creator. In other words, He is that creator who is fully aware of every single thing which He created, so He can create anything the like of that. إِنَّمَا
Why will he be able to create it? Because innama amruhu idha arada shay'an an yaqula lahu kun fayakun. Certainly, his affair is this, that whenever he intends anything, an yaqula lahu, that he only says to it, that he says to it, kun fayakun, be, and it comes into being. So what is human being to create when he created the vast universe? Therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful that he has created the entire heavens and the earth, and he has created every single human being, and he will give them death, and after that he will give them life again. When Allah is so powerful, فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي, then glory be to Allah. فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, then glory be to that one in whose hands is the dominion, is the kingdom of every single thing, not only the heavens and the earth, but the kingdom of the entire creation, the kingdom of the insects, the kingdom of vegetation, the kingdom of the insects, the kingdom of animals, every single thing. The power of that is in Allah's hand. The power, the qudrat, the milkiyat, the possession of that is in Allah's hand. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And everything will remain for a small, short, temporary purpose. And where will all these things go back? وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Back to him. It will all go back. And so too, all human beings will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is the message teaching us all was revealed about, these verses were revealed about this person, that do not think that the bones are dead. The bones are crumbled into pieces, decayed and decomposed, and that's the end of life. No, no, no. Allah is all powerful. Upon putting life in it, and he will put life in it, and back to him will be our return. And that is the place all of us have to return, back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That brings us to the end of Surah Yasin.